broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Christianity is not the first nor the fifth.
At that moment, I was thinking, I don't want to die here on the ground.
First and 10. Petrie with a nice block at the guard. Going deep. He's got Jim.
Cop. Needlessly cut down an ambush.
Kick a Jew.
Epic fail.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Where truth is our bitch and we head places other talk shows. Man, not only do they wish they could go there, they can't quite figure out how we do it. They want to go there and like that, all right? Every night and Saturday nights on KFI in Los Angeles. Now it's our news hour. We have Robert Leonard. Robert.
How you doing?
And Bud Dickman.
Hi. I want to comment on news and everything.
Yeah, that's what you're going to do, man. That's what you do. And the Hobbit film lands in a race controversy. Get a load of that. What color's a Hobbit? Well, we'll find out. Broadway's version of Spider-Man was a, well, I can tell you what it was because it's right here. Apparently it just stunk the joint out, and we're going to find out why. Well, most of it was technical stuff.
Yeah, I heard, man, that like one of the actors had to come to a scene, but he's stuck up on a ceiling.
What are you talking about, stuck on a ceiling?
Well, he was like on a guide wire or something like that?
Yeah, he was supposed to be flying. And the wires got stuck, and so the dude is up in the rafters through a scene that he was supposed to be on the stage for. So it technically is a very difficult play to present, and we'll see if they're able to work this stuff out. I mean, they got ripped in the New York press, the Spider-Man debut on stage in New York. One can say, well, that's a little hasty. I mean, but they do have a lot of technical issues to work out. Plus, the WikiLeaks, this drove of documents, however the word is.
Pretty close, like a treasure trove.
Trove, thank you. Of documents is still coming out, and we'll find out what's in it. Is any of it of any value, or is it just, and I hate to say the word, but I'm going to use it, is there real value in these documents to the extent that we're seeing something really nefarious about our government? Or are we at this point now where we're just poking through lots and lots of things, offering opinions? In other words, at what point does this become treasonous? And excuse me for using the word, but I'm going to use it. And then we have, of course, the passing of actor Leslie Nielsen, 84 years of age, and an inspiration to old guys like me, because at the age of whatever he was, I mean, he was 54 years old, maybe a little bit younger, 52, when he started as a comedic actor for the very first time in the Airplane movie.
I seen the Airplane. Was he there? Which one was he?
He was the guy who kept saying, you know, he was the cat who said things like, of course I'm serious and don't call me Shirley.
Yeah, his nose got big.
Oh yeah, when he was lying about Pinocchio and everything.
Right, he was lying and his nose kept getting bigger. That was Leslie Nielsen. And then he was in The Naked Gun and Police Squad and a few other movies. Very, very funny guy. And he passed on at 84 in Fort Lauderdale, New York. 877-876-PHIL. So here it is, the first Spider-Man movie. Oh, and our website, philhenryshow.com. Get a BSP, man. Get the open the world up even larger to the Phil Hendry Show experience. Get your backstage pass. Check in with our archives. Check in with our video archives. Check in with the character bits, with our animated stuff, with our live video cast every day, with our news feed. Do it. First Spider-Man preview filled with major problems. Not even Spider-Man could avert this disaster, writes Michael Riedel and Helen Seidman of the New York Post. Last week's opening preview of Broadway's most expensive production ever. This is a $65 million play, folks. It's a play. It's a stage presentation. $65 million, that's how much some movies cost.
They're only going to do it one time, right? Or more than one time.
Yeah, a play goes every day.
Well, that's pretty good then.
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, it's not like it's costing them $65 million every time they do the play. The stage itself and all of the production elements, $65 million. It's very expensive. It's called Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark.
What's that supposed to mean?
I don't know.
Is it racial?
Why would you think it's racial?
Because the look on your face, you think it is.
No, I'm just asking.
Are you serious?
I don't know.
Are you serious? You think it's racial?
Well, what does that mean?
I'll tell you what it means. It means, Spider-Man, get the black people out of the country and everything.
Get out of here, will you?
What does that mean?
I don't know, man. It's not racial. Spider-Man, turn off the dark.
I think it sounds like he wants everybody to kick all the black people out of New York.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's what Spider-Man wants to do. Turn off the dark. Anyway, it was an epic flop. Epic flop. The opening night is what the New York Post is saying. A $65 million show's high-tech gadgetry went completely awry amid a dull score and baffling script and griping theatergoers. Stunned, this is their word, stunned audience members were left scratching their heads over the confusing plot when they weren't ducking for cover from falling equipment and dangling actors at the Foxwoods Theater on West 42nd Street. How long did they rehearse this thing for?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, if you've got a big play with... What do I mean? What do you mean? What do you think I mean?
What do you think
I
mean?
Well, what do you mean, like, rehearsed? Like, what?
The whole play, man. It's a $65 million production. They got this. They got that. They got something else. Wouldn't you rehearse the living hell out of this, man? I don't think they did.
It doesn't sound like a matter of all that stuff go wrong.
I don't think they rehearsed it to the point where you should. If you've got all of this supposed high-tech gadgetry, you got to rehearse the living hell out of it. You got to rehearse it until you're... I mean, seriously, you're doing dry runs, if you'll pardon the expression.
Bessie, you can't say that.
You know, I shouldn't have said, if you'll pardon the expression, because I knew you would have taken it as... In any event, at various points, overhead stage wires dropped on the audience, scenery appeared on stage missing pieces, and the show star was even left swaying helplessly over the midair during what was supposed to be the climactic end to the first set. God help them. The production, directed by Julie Taymor of Lion King fame, now this is a very accomplished director, she's an experienced Broadway director, she directed Lion King, which was a smash, so it's not like they threw some... You know, neophyte in there. And with a score by U2's Bono and The Edge.
That could have been a problem right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it probably stunk.
Yeah, that's the weak spot there. Yeah, but sure.
Well,
I don't know, man. Bono and The Edge, I mean, you figure, okay. Anyway, the production appeared cursed from the start, according to audience members. It opened with Tamer's personal creation, the eight-legged female character Arachne, taking the stage. Okay. The spider is the radioactive arachnid that bites Peter Parker, giving the photographer his superhuman Spider-Man powers. As the character, played by actress Natalie Mendoza, finished her big number, Rise Above, while suspended over the crowd, an apparent wire malfunction left her stopped in midair, where she remained for an embarrassing 7 or 8 minutes as stagehands worked feverishly to figure out the problem. The stage manager finally went, finally said over the loudspeaker, give it up for Natalie Mendoza, who's hanging in the air. The show had to be stopped 4 times in the first set alone for various snags. Parker's love interest, Mary Jane, was supposed to be saved from atop the Chrysler Building, but part of the building was missing, and Mary Jane was nowhere in sight. As puzzled theater patrons looked around, Spider-Man, played by Reeve Carney, suddenly flew in with Mary Jane in his arms and put her down on the stage. He was then supposed to fly off at a dramatic end of the first act. Instead, Spider-Man got stuck in midair and swung back and forth over the crowd as 3 stagehands leaped up and down, futilely trying to grab onto one of his feet to haul him back to Earth.
Oh, man, they ought to fire somebody.
You ever hear that Paul Anka outtake? You remember that one?
Oh, God, if this was the Paul Anka outtake.
What'd he do?
Paul, you never heard the Paul Anka outtake, huh?
Yeah, he's all going... The guys get shirts. The guys get shirts and everything.
Wait a minute. I don't understand what you said. What did he do?
Paul Anka, you know the singer?
Yeah.
There's a famous tape of him in the dressing room that got out, and it's on a couple of CDs, where he's all bugged about the fact that the spotlight was wrong and the guys weren't wearing the right shirts and they missed a cue and they did this and they did that. And he's all just pissed off, and he's saying all this stuff like, you know, you know, hey, is that your responsibility, Eddie? Yeah. It happens again, you're fired. Which, it basically sounds like me during any break.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So, yeah, you were going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, you too, huh?
Well, I mean...
All right, well, anyway, nobody's stuck in my stuff on a CD so far. So, if Paul Anka had a live show, And I imagine that if this were his live show, people would have died. I can't even. And then at one point, he even says something along the lines of, a plane is landing. Now, the pilot not only goes on instruments, he uses his eyes. This is what he's saying to his crew, because the crew was doing everything by the book. But what Anka was saying was, you don't only do it by the book. You have to watch. You have to see. You have to use your intuition. And
yeah, it sounds like you're sticking up for him now.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying if this had been his show, he wouldn't have even talked to anybody. He would have just opened up on him with an automatic weapon. Parker's love interest, Mary Jane, so she's dangling in the air. And then Parker's dangling, if you'll pardon the expression. And so another sticky situation involves Spider-Man nemesis Green Goblin. According to disgruntled audience members, as the Goblin, played by Patrick Page of Grinch fame, sat down on at the piano for a scheduled number. How do you like that? The Goblin was going to sing, huh?
That sounds pretty good, you know.
Do you know the number?
No, I don't. So the Green Goblin is going to sit at the piano and play. Anyway, as the Green Goblin sat down at the piano for a scheduled number, he was left to continue playing on and on and on as stage workers openly rushed around to fix faulty equipment. Page finally started vamping it up for grateful audience members, riffing on the tune, I'll Take Manhattan. This is the best part of the whole show, grumbled theater-goer Steve Poisner of California. The production dragged for 3.5 hours. In its last 10 minutes, the show was completely stopped for at least half that time to work out kinks.
Well, maybe that's what they're doing on a rehearsal.
You think that's the rehearsal, huh?
Maybe.
So they invite the press and the audience, and everybody's there so people can come and see their rehearsal? Well, you know what? I hope they learned a lot from their rehearsal because they got the worst press. No, that ain't no rehearsal, man.
It could be.
Well, I'll tell you this much. No, I don't think so. I'll tell you this much, though. They better have learned a lot from it because they got their ass handed to them by the media, and the people hated it, and we're talking about it and laughing about it. And so I hope they got a good rehearsal in. Was Tangled or Burlesque able to compete with Harry Potter this weekend? We're going to find out in terms of movies. We'll get into the weekend box office. And WikiLeaks releases more documents. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and at philhendryshow.com with our live video cast right now. We have the weekend box office here.
Look at that. I see what I tell you about. See? Right there.
I see it, bud. Okay.
Where are you putting that, man?
Right here.
Big deal. So what?
So, Harry Potter off 60% from a movie that last week it was.
Yeah, okay, that's great. I'll see if I can find someone who can interpret that into English.
No kidding, man.
No, you just don't want to talk about it.
So Harry Potter's off 60%. So what? He's all jazzed about the fact that he thinks Harry Potter sucks and it's down 60%. Do you know how much money they made last week? They broke records, dude. They're off 60%. They still made $50 million.
That's so? If people liked it, it wouldn't be off.
If people liked it, it wouldn't be off.
Man, I made $50 million. How much you think people gonna... What are you talking about?
You think that's got to go up in the positive numbers every week?
Yeah. You said Titanic did.
Yeah, Titanic did, okay? I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't know how much money Harry Potter's making now as opposed to what Titanic made when it opened. But, and what was Titanic? Was that over 3 days?
Well, that was like a weekend. They had like a 4-day weekend or something. I forget. Like Veterans Day weekend or something.
I don't know, man. But their total gross, $219 million, man. One lousy week. They've been out 2 weeks. 2 weeks, $219 million.
Doesn't matter. People don't like it's down 60%, and Titanic didn't do that.
Oh, well, all right, bud. So your point being?
Titanic was more popular.
You know what? At the end of the day... You know,
No. Titanic more popular.
No, at the end of the day, we can see what the worldwide gross was. Titanic made over $1 billion. If Harry Potter busts that, then okay. If Harry Potter doesn't bust that, more to the point, then I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know. All I'm going to tell you is total gross $219 million. This past weekend they made $50 million. They're down 60% only because they didn't have another record breaking weekend. What the hell do you want them to do? Break records every weekend?
You said that on account of it being positive.
Oh, man, you're making a big deal out of what I said. I said it's rare. It does indicate unusual audience interest when a movie goes, like, into plus figures each week. But it doesn't mean because a movie is going into negative figures that it stinks.
Well, then look at all of these. They all stink on wheels. Look at that one. That one there, that one there, that one there.
I see it, man.
That one over there.
That doesn't mean they stink on wheels, man. Like Phil said, it's very rare if they go in a positive number.
Well, how many been positive number?
I don't know, man. I don't keep records on that stuff. Here you go. Titanic opened December 19th, 1997, and it made $28.6 million. Second week, it made $35 million. Harry Potter's opening, you know how much it was?
Yeah, $125. So?
So, the Harry Potter's, you know, $125 million. That's a lie. That's its opening weekend, man.
Yeah, it's 13 years later. And you say Titanic go up. Harry Potter not go up. Harry Potter go down.
You know, where did you go to school, man?
No, I'm kidding, man.
What?
You say Harry Potter go up.
It's easier to talk like that.
Easier to talk like a baby? Harry Potter went from $28 million to $35 million the second week. Excuse me, Titanic did. Harry Potter opened at $125 million. It went down to $50 million. Oh, my God. Harry, you suck, man. I mean, it could. You may be right. I don't know what the, if I was to adjust all of that for inflation or whatever has happened over the last 13 years, will we ever know what's happened to the economy? Then you may have your point. All right. Number two, will you get out of here with Harry Potter? Man, I'm wasting my freaking time on one movie. Number two, Tangled.
What's that about?
I don't know. Number three, Megamind. Megamind is down 21%. They were number two last week, the number three this week. According to Bud, they probably stink. And the guy that directs the studio that was made in should commit suicide, right?
Yeah, well, it's not doing gooder.
It's not doing gooder, huh?
Wow.
You don't talk any better. You know what I mean.
So you should kill yourself, whoever is running. And also, those of you who unstoppable, yeah, it's not unstoppable, man. Down 12%. You were number three last week. You're number five this week, so you stink. Now, here is Love and Other Drugs debuting at number six, $9 million. Faster debuting at number seven, $8 million. Due Date debuting at number eight, $7 million. Oh, no, wait. It was number four last week. It's down 19%. Here is one. The Next 3 Days, down 28%. Morning Glory, down 24%. Get out. Everything stinks.
Yeah, except Titanic.
You know what, man? I don't even think you've seen Titanic. Have you seen Titanic?
Not really. But it's the principle involved in what you're saying about how, you know, if a movie go up.
Well, if you've not even seen the movie, man, you're sitting here talking all kinds of support for Titanic. You may have hated it, man. You know?
How could I hate it if what you said about it, where the ship sinks and everything?
Yeah. Oh, really? The ship sinks. Get a load of that, Robert.
I didn't know that.
In the movie Titanic, a ship sinks, huh?
Shut up.
Hey, in the movie Titanic, the ship sinks.
Shut up.
Well, you shut up, man.
You shut up. You don't want to start all talking about Titanic.
And you ain't never even seen it? Let me tell you something, bud. I don't want to ruin it for you, but the ship sinks.
Yeah, well, you can't. It doesn't matter what you say. You'll never be able to talk bad about because of the money it made.
I ain't saying the Titanic didn't make money. I'm not saying that it's... I'm just telling you, it's too early to tell. I wouldn't know what these numbers mean, man. You know, one of the worst things that has ever happened, in my opinion, is that they actually release these numbers. These are numbers that are released out to us, the public. We don't know how to read this stuff. We look at this. Well, you might as well show the Bible to an ape. That's what this stuff is to us, you know. I don't know. It says it made $49 million. Sounds like a lot of money to me, but there must be some guy over there at Warner Brothers Studio slitting his wrists over that. Here's Tangled. They made $50 million last week. $50 million, man, in their debut. Not last week, this week. $50 million. There's probably some guy's, he's not happy with that. All right, coming up, is The Hobbit racist? Not the actual Hobbit himself, but the production, the film. We'll get into a controversy with the upcoming Peter Jackson film coming up here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Back in a moment here.
PhilHendryShow.com.
Right.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil what? Hendry.
Phil Hendry Show and PhilHendryShow.com, what?
Because it was on a queue.
What was on the queue?
I had... You know, at least to do is go a spoiler alert.
Are you kidding me, man? You had all on Netflix queue.
You had what on your Netflix queue?
I had Titanic on my Netflix queue, and you should say spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert? You don't know that the ship sinks in Titanic?
Man, you gotta be kidding me.
I'm just saying, why do you say spoiler alert on account I had it on Netflix?
You had it on Netflix? So now that you know the ship's gonna sink, you ain't gonna order it?
What's the point? I mean...
Let me ask you something, man. Seriously. Do you even know what Titanic is or was?
It's a ship. I know about that on account of what people said.
Yeah, it's a ship that sunk, man. That's why it's famous. It sunk.
It ain't famous, man, just because it's a ship.
I didn't know. Nobody said.
Nobody said. Nobody said? I bet you if you were awake when you were taking history, they would have said, Titanic sunk.
Okay. So, why can't you say spoiler alert?
Spoiler alert? Hey, spoiler alert, we bombed Hiroshima. How about that, huh?
Well, for people that aren't familiar.
Bud, look, man, I got to tell you, for people that aren't familiar... I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean not familiar? So who am I talking to if I say, spoiler alert, we won World War II? Who am I talking to there?
The people that aren't familiar.
The people that aren't familiar? I hate to say this, but they must have IQs of like a single digit. You know.
Oh, okay. So in other words, you think that I'm of the Mongoloid? On account of what you...
Say Mongoloid? I didn't say that, did I? I don't like that word either. I didn't say that, but I'm being facetious to make a point. You want me to say spoiler alert because of the Titanic sinking?
Yeah, there you did it again.
Look, bud, there isn't anybody on the planet, I can safely say there isn't anybody on the planet Earth other than you that didn't know the Titanic sunk.
Well, I gotta go back online now.
Yeah, you do that, man. You get online and cancel your Titanic, huh?
Man, are you crazy or something, man? Even the people that never seen a Titanic movie, they knew the Titanic sunk.
Oh, you interviewed all of them? You talked to everybody in the line?
No. But, I mean, that's stupid, man.
I agree with Robert. I got to tell you, everybody that went to see the movie Titanic knew the ship was going to sink.
What's the point?
So you can see it sink. That's why, because the special effects in the movie were great. It showed you, and the other thing that was cool about the movie Titanic, it was based upon new archaeological, or whatever the hell they call it, on how it sunk.
What do you mean, how it sunk? What's that got to do with anything? People know it sunk.
No, man. No. They thought the Titanic went down in one piece. Well, when they went down there with the submarine, right, Robert?
Yeah, they had a camera on it, and they found, like, one piece over here, one piece over there, busted in half.
It busted in half, see?
Oh, wow, big deal.
You know, bud, for you to get disappointed, but I got to tell you something, man. Spoiler alert. Yeah, okay. Hey, bud, spoiler alert. Jesus died on the cross.
You're going to go to hell for that.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, man.
You shouldn't say that, man.
Well, what do you want me to say to this guy? Spoiler alert. You know that little baby that's born at Christmas time?
Yeah.
He's going to die on the cross.
What a bastard.
Get out of here. God. 877-876-PHIL. Unreal. That's why people went and saw it. That's why I don't even know why I went to see. Yeah, I went to see Titanic to see it sink. I can tell you that. I sure as hell didn't go to see Leonardo DiCaprio. And I ain't saying I don't like him. I like him a lot. But that's not really the big reason. You know, hey, Titanic, Leonardo DiCaprio. Well, that changed my mind. I think I'll go see it now because Leo DiCaprio's in it. No. I hear that the ship, the way it sunk in the movie, it was awesome and it was realistic and it was this and it was that and it was something else. So I went to see it. God. All right, race controversy erupts over The Hobbit casting. If you're ready for this, this is amazing. It's not as controversial as you would think, though, but here we go. Peter Jackson's troubled The Hobbit project, and it's troubled for a couple of reasons, was embroiled in a race controversy today over a casting agent sacked for telling a would-be extra she was too dark to play one of the pint-sized creatures. The independent contractor who made the comment... This is an independent casting agent, so these are people that are hired to cast extras. The independent contractor who made the comments and placed an advertisement in a local newspaper specifying female Hobbit extras should have light skin tones had been dismissed, a spokesman for Jackson's Wingnut Film said. The contractor has not been identified. No such instructions were given, so the contractor, the casting agent, was not given any of this instruction. The crew member in question took it upon themselves to do that, and it's not something we instructed or condone. The controversy erupted after Britton Naz Humphreys, who is of Pakistani heritage and actress, attended a casting session in the New England city of Hamilton last week. Standing in line for 3 hours, she was told her skin tone was not suitable. She told the Waikato Times in 2010, "I still can't believe I'm being discriminated against because I have brown skin." The casting manager basically said they weren't having anybody who wasn't pale skin. I don't know if it's that heavy, man. You know.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, here's the thing. Oh, wow. We, you know, don't want a black hobbit. That's not basically, according to the book, and this is who they're quoting, they're J.R.R. Tolkien in the book The Hobbit. He said that the Middle Earth fantasy world where the hobbits live, they have various kinds of hobbits, including Harfoots, who were browner of skin than the others. So you do have hobbits that are browner of skin. Whether that means, I don't know what that means. You know,
maybe it means they're coal black. You know,
shut up, man.
You mean coal black? They didn't say that. They said browner of skin.
Yeah. Well, what does that mean?
I don't know. But I don't want to do a spoiler alert. You know. You know what I'm saying, man?
Yeah. I better not say, man, that they got black hobbits.
I don't care. I'm not gonna go see it.
Yeah, you're still going to be trying to get Titanic from Netflix. Tolkien described three races of hobbits inhabiting the Middle-earth fantasy world, which is the setting for the movie, including Harfoots, who are browner of skin than others. I don't know what the hell this is all about, but here's the thing. There was no instruction given in terms of casting these actors who should be short. The men, they're asking 5'7". The women, wait a second.
Yeah, man, that's discrimination.
It is. Well, the dirty, filthy, they're discriminating against, like, big people and stuff.
What are you talking about, man? You can't have no big, there's no big hobbit.
I don't know. The guys that played the hobbit in Lord of the Rings, those cats, they were regular-sized guys that they made small with special effects. So how does that feel? Anyway, the crew member in question has been dismissed from the show. So they fired this person. And they fired this person, I am guessing, to avert any and all untoward, even remotely untoward publicity. Because the fact of the matter remains that the hobbits in this book are, Harfoots are brown, the others are a lighter skin. So what are you doing? Aren't you casting, aren't you having to make that judgment call as a casting director? I guess not, huh? Previously, this film had been stalled for years by wrangling over distribution rights, reported budget blowouts, and financial woes at the MGM studio, prompting director Guillermo del Toro to quit earlier this year, and it was taken over by Peter Jackson. So I guess either Jackson's company was doing the production, and then he said, okay, well, Toro quit, so I'm coming in, or it was a whole different ballgame, and he came in, which I think is probably something they appreciate. Martin Freeman from The Office is the lead Bilbo Baggins.
How tall is he?
I don't know. It's a good question. How tall is Martin Freeman, Jace, if you can get that, you know, if you can get that information?
Do me a favor, will you?
What?
Don't tell me what Rosebud is.
What's Rosebud?
Never mind. It's a reference to Citizen King. What? What did I just... Who is? Oh, it's 5'7". Okay. So Martin Freeman's right on the edge then for a hobbit, so he's the right size. It's funny how they work that out. All right, and the other big story of the day, and we you know sort of avoided it because it's to me it's dull. I you know only political junkies, more to the point, political geeks, more to the point, dishonest little vermin, which is another word for political geek, are into this story. U.S. says leaks are a crime. They threaten prosecution. The WikiLeaks, striking back, the Obama administration branded the WikiLeaks release of more than 250,000 sensitive files an attack on the United States and raised the prospect of criminal prosecutions in connection with the exposure. That's the Obama administration. The Pentagon detailed new security safeguards, including restraints on small computer flash drives, to make it harder for any one person to copy and reveal so many secrets. The young Army PFC suspected of stealing the document, the diplomatic memos, many of them classified, and feeding them to WikiLeaks, may have defeated Pentagon security systems using little more than a Lady Gaga CD and a portable computer memory stick. The soldier, Bradley Manning, has not been charged in the latest release of internal U.S. government documents, but officials said he's the prime suspect, partly because of his own description of how he pulled off the staggering. Not only should they prosecute this guy, they should prosecute him for treason. Treason. You know, we don't prosecute people for that anymore. Why is that? Well, it's a silly crime. It's silly? Really? Is it silly? Is it a silly crime if what this guy did perhaps puts people's lives at risk? If what this guy did perhaps compromises some level of security for our country, even if it means that we have to crap can, I was about to use the other word, a whole set of procedures, systems, equipment, and start all over again, that's a real insignificant crime, huh? And the guy's bragging about it? You want to know why he's bragging about it? Because, oh, well, he's Daniel Ellsberg, man. Because this is the Vietnam era. Because he missed the big anti-Vietnam party. Because there's a whole slew and generation of people alive today who want to be Robert Woodward and Carl Bernstein, and they ain't it. No one suspected a thing, Manning told a confidant afterward, according to a log of his computer chat published by Wired.com. I didn't even have to hide anything. Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, asserted Monday that WikiLeaks acted illegally in posting the material. She said the administration was taking aggressive steps to hold responsible those who stole this information. I'm telling you, not only this kid, but anybody that that received it, paid for it, knowingly published it, all of them. And then we'll hear all kinds of screaming and yelling from all kinds of people, which is fine. Sooner or later, you got to take a stand on this stuff. You know, it's a fascinating, I think it's a very fascinating exercise. President Obama, who was seen by so many as an anti-Bush or a guy who would be the antidote to the quote-unquote Bush-era paranoia, whatever that was, you see him, and we predicted this. I mean, there isn't one thing he's doing that we didn't say he wouldn't do. You see him acting, and they've called him that, like another Bush. Well, no, he's acting like an American president. Maybe you don't know what that is. Maybe some of these people haven't figured that one out. Maybe they haven't figured out that this is serious business and that Obama as president has to take it seriously, and he is taking it seriously, and that some of the fair-haired darlings that they thought were, you know, that would have been embraced by the president, maybe they're going to get thrown into a federal prison. What do you think of that? I love it. Attorney General Eric Holder said the government was... You want to talk about whether or not there was waterboarding this and illegal that, and, you know, right here, man, here's the crime, okay? Forget about whether they were waterboarding people. And what did the Justice Department then say, as opposed to the Justice Department today? And, oh, yeah, you know, that guy they caught in Portland, man, like, you know, let's hope and pray that that they didn't waterboard anybody to get that information. Please, God, no. And the guy they caught in Portland over the weekend, this kid that was going to set off a gasoline bomb with screws. Let's hope that everything was by the book, because if it wasn't, they'll have to let him go. Anyway, Attorney General Eric Holder said the government was mounting a criminal investigation. The Pentagon was tightening access to information, including restricting the use of computer storage devices, blah, blah. Holder, listen, this is not saber-rattling. Anyone found to have broken American law will be held responsible. We'll see. Holder said the latest disclosure involved classified and sensitive State Department documents, jeopardized the security of the nation, its diplomats, intelligence assets, and relationships with foreign governments, and Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, agreed. I hope they put a lot of people in prison for this. World-famous Phil Henry Show will be right back. What are you looking at?
I just wonder if you messed up, because I was going to get Day of the Jackal.
You get out of here, Day of the Jackal.
It's the Phil Henry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You would, huh? Welcome back, world-famous Phil Henry Show. We have a story here that's kind of interesting about alcoholic. Now, get a load of the alcoholic whipped cream. And you like that, huh, bud?
Yeah. I would try alcoholic whipped cream only because I don't like alcohol or anything like that.
You don't drink, do you?
Uh-uh.
You drink, Robert?
Not really.
I'm the only one that drinks here? All right. So you don't drink? Why?
Just because it tastes nasty. But if they have alcoholic whipped cream, that'd be like, that's the reason why I want to try it on a Four Loko, too.
You know, this stuff about you don't like the way it tastes. You want to know why? Because you guys have been drinking garbage. What have you drunk that you don't like?
What? Just everything. Beer, everything.
I don't like the way, I don't like beer. I don't like any hard liquor. I don't like none of it.
Well, I'm not trying to get you to drink, but I often find when people say they don't like the taste of alcohol, it's because they've been drinking swill. So, but I'm telling you, alcoholic whipped cream?
Yeah, that would be great.
Well, how are you going to, let me ask you, what are you going to do with that?
What do you mean?
Alcoholic whipped cream. What are you going to do, just keep buying pieces of pie?
No, you take the canister and just sit down like you're going to watch TV and just, you know, just shoot it in, just suck whipped cream into your mouth.
You're serious?
Well, you could do that.
Are you guys serious?
Yeah, well, that's what you do. Just sit there and just, pzz, you know, in your mouth. So funny.
Yeah, right. Sit down shooting whipped cream into your mouth. Are you high? All right. Well, anyway, this is in Orlando, Florida. Federal government ordered the makers of Four Loko to change its dangerous combination of caffeine and alcohol to something safer. However, it's not just beverages getting the controversial alcohol boost. It's whipped cream, too. A new product is filling the void. Now that Four Loko has been effectively banned nationwide, it's whipped cream infused with alcohol. Some of the new products are named Cream and Whipped Lightning. Some UCF students, University of Central Florida. What is with you guys, man? Everybody at University of this is the Louis Pasteur lab for getting ripped? Here are some UCF students talking to WFTV television about the new alcoholic product.
I think it's awesome. You throw it on some Jello shots, it'd be fantastic.
Not surprised. This is just a college. I'm not surprised at all. I'm actually shocked they didn't come up with it sooner.
I mean, if people already get high off of whipped cream bottles, you put alcohol into that mix, it's not exactly a good combination. Regular whipped cream people don't use in moderation, so alcoholic whipped cream, I don't know if that'd be a good idea.
Well, you gotta huff it, too.
Huff what?
The whipped cream bottle.
Oh, God. The products are also popular in Massachusetts. Here's a Boston area student telling MyFox Boston that there's no real controversy over the alcoholic whipped cream.
You know, my friends who have talked about it have said, you know, oh, maybe I'll buy it just for fun to see what it's, you know, all about. But I don't think anyone's taking it too seriously. I think people are making it a big deal because it's the new alcoholic product since the ban of Four Loko. And they're so different. So I think that I don't think one will replace the other.
Yeah, but on account of the huffing.
Yeah, great. I got the huff part. All right. Leslie Nielsen, finally, of Naked Gun fame, as you know, passed on at the age of 84 this weekend.
The stewardess said, both pilots.
Can you fly this plane and land it?
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
So there's that famous line from Airplane. And here is Nielsen in The Naked Gun as he tries to console a grieving wife at her husband's hospital bedside.
Good cop. Needlessly cut down an ambush by some cowardly hoodlums.
There's no way for a man to die.
Yeah, you're right, Ed. A parachute not opening, that's a way to die. getting caught in the gears of a combine. That's the way I want to go.
Oh, Frank. Oh, this is terrible.
Don't you worry, Wilma. Your husband is going to be all right. Don't you worry about anything. Just think positive. Never let a doubt enter your mind.
He's right, Wilma. But I wouldn't wait until the last minute to fill out those organ donor cards.
What I'm trying to say is that, Wilma, as soon as Nordberg is better, he's welcome back at Police Squad.
Unless he's a drooling vegetable. But I think that's only common sense.
So Leslie Nielsen, you know, started his career as a serious actor. He was in the film The Forbidden Planet back in the 50s. He found his best dramatic role as the captain of the overturned ocean liner in the 1972 disaster movie The Poseidon Adventure. And he became known as a serious actor, although behind the camera, he was a prankster. He was 84 years of age. He died of pneumonia in Fort Lauderdale. And I dug him on that show, Police Squad.
Yeah, I seen they got that on DVD.
Police Squad was the television birth of Naked Gun. And ABC canceled Police Squad because, well, they're a network, and what do they know about, you know, good TV? And so it gets canceled, and the guys just decided to make a movie out of it, and they just made a few million dollars, so way to do it. Like NBC with Star Trek. The Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Rance, technical director Charles Wygant. Our associate producer is Dan Northcraft, and our website, philhendryshow.com, for all your Phil Hendry needs.
Phil Hendry.